You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. It's all O's all the time. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. We're just days away from opening day, and we have a bunch of cool episodes lined up for the week. Tomorrow, we'll preview the American League East. A little later in the week, we'll take a look at the Minnesota Twins, who are the Orioles' opening day opponent. And we'll have full coverage and analysis of opening day on Friday morning. So please check those out. Today's episode is pretty cool as well. We're going to take an in-depth look at a 1992 incident in which New York book editor Elaine Benes was asked to remove her Orioles hat at an Orioles-Yankees game. To do that, I've asked two of my former colleagues, Jason Foster and Jason Wheatley, to join me. We'll get to that in just a minute, but first, I want to remind everybody, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and other places where podcasts are available. You can also find us on Locked On Orioles. You can follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Orioles. And you can send us emails, lockedonorioles@gmail.com. Send suggestions for guests and topics, and you can also send us mailbag questions. That's also the email to contact if you're interested in advertising on Locked On Orioles. Remember, you can advertise on Locked On Orioles or on the entire Locked On MLB podcast network. It's a chance to reach a sophisticated, digitally savvy baseball audience. Okay, let's get on to today's episode. More than 10 years ago, I was part of a podcast called Popcast. At the time, I was the web editor of The Herald, a newspaper in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Two of my colleagues there were Jason Foster and Jason Wheatley. Each week, the three of us would get together to talk about the latest news in pop culture and that sort of thing. This was in the pre-iPhone days for the most part, so back then to listen to a podcast, it was a bit more of a challenge than it is today. For most people, you would have to subscribe on iTunes and then each day sync your iPod by hooking it up to your computer. It wasn't as easy as just going onto your iPhone and clicking play. Despite that, we built up a pretty good audience and had a lot of fun doing it. Eventually, all of us left the Herald for other jobs and the podcast went away. But today we're going to have a reunion, and for the first time in 10 years, the three of us are going to get together to talk about pop culture. Today we're going to take a look at a 1992 episode of Seinfeld called The Letter. This is the episode in which Elaine, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, attended a Yankees game along with Kramer and George, wearing an Orioles hat. She was asked to remove the hat by the person who had given her the tickets, and hilarity ensued. So let's take a look at this key moment in Orioles history. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by two guys named Jason Foster.
Hello.
And Jason Wheatley.
Hello.
All right. Well, guys, by my calculations, it's been about 10 years since we last recorded a podcast together, which means we have a lot of ground to make up. So right now, we're going to just start with the movies released in the summer of 2008, and we'll just work our way forward. We'll just go to the fall TV schedule, and we'll catch ourselves up to 2016 pop culture. Or 2008.
I've got a stack of Entertainment Weekly sitting right here that I've just been waiting. It's all the Oscar previews and the fall preview. They're all here, ready to go.
All right.
And
so
I've got a lot to say about Heroes.
Yeah, exactly. We did do a lot of Heroes related content back in the day. That's for sure.
How did you feel about the finale of Lost, Jason?
Well, how much time you got? Well, we only have 22 minutes. So.
Was the Sopranos finale that was happening within the last 10 years? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never watched it.
Oh, well. All right. So anyway, the real reason we are here is to talk about an episode of Seinfeld from 1992. It's called The Letter. It was the 21st episode of season 3. It was written by Larry David. It originally aired on March 25th, 1992. And the reason we're here to talk about it is that one of the did you call it a subplot? Because all the stories were kind of equal in this episode, I felt like. But there's a storyline in here in which Elaine is asked to remove her Orioles hat at Yankee Stadium. So let's just get right in it. We all watched the episode recently. We'd all seen it a million times before that, I'm sure. But what did you guys think about that plot in particular?
Well, I was going to say one thing that probably makes this episode stand out more for people is this is the one with the famous Kramer painting. So, you know, I don't know who all your listeners, but if your listeners are like, I don't remember that episode, it's the one with the Kramer painting, which
yes.
That plot then feeds into this plot because Jerry is dating the painter who gives them the tickets to the Yankees game.
Yeah, I did not remember that it was the Kramer painting episode. And that was a pleasant surprise because I had not seen the episode in probably at least several years. But even back when I first saw it, the thing that stuck out to me the most was, would that really happen? Would, at the time, Steinbrenner, would anyone have really asked someone to take off a non-Yankees hat in the owner's box? And I wrestle with whether that would actually happen.
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that, because I watched the audio commentary, I did something to the commentary on the DVD.
This is my favorite podcast to watch, Justin. I just want you to know that. I watch it every week.
If you can't watch, if you're not seeing the video on this podcast right now, there's something wrong with your device. So just get, you might want to get a new one. No, but I was listening to the, there's two sorts of commentary on the DVD, but in any case, this was based on an actual thing that happened to Larry David. He, in 1991, he got tickets to an Angels game in Anaheim when they were playing the Yankees. And he went with a friend, and the friend was wearing a Yankees cap. And about the third inning, he said, a team executive came down and asked him to remove the hat. Now, I don't think he got kicked out. I think the guy just took the hat off. But Larry David said he felt like it was the most ridiculous thing that had ever happened. And so he decided he was going to work that into an episode. So it is based on a true story, but not about George Steinbrenner, about Gene Autry, who owned the Angels back then.
Well, that is surprising, and I agree with Larry David that it's pretty stupid.
See, I'm on the opposite side. I think it. I'm not against the idea. I think it's ridiculous to ask someone to take a ball cap off at a baseball game, except if you're sitting in the owner's box, maybe don't wear a hat for a team that is a different team than the owner's box that you're sitting in, which... It's also funny that you say that Larry David thinks that's ridiculous, because George, of course, is like the Larry David analog on the show. And George tells her to take it off. He is anti-Orioles cap.
I think I get the impression he's just anti making a scene, basically, right? He just wants to kind of
He doesn't want to get kicked out.
But one of the things that's interesting to me, and I think is relevant to this particular podcast, is why did they decide to go with the Orioles? Why is that the team they decided to go with? Obviously, in real life, it was a Yankees cap in Los Angeles. So they had to make this something in New York. And I feel like they had, you know, Jerry and George are established as lifelong New Yorkers. Kramer, I'm not sure if that's even established, like what his background is. It's kind of mysterious by design, I think.
Well, actually, at the end of the episode, he's telling the people who bought the painting about how he jumped on a barge at age 17. So who knows?
Yeah, exactly. So I think they felt like they needed to make this an Elaine story. And from what I could tell, I researched this a little bit because I was interested in it. Up to this point, they hadn't really said where she was from. So in the episode, it turns out she says she's from Towson, Maryland, which is a suburb of Baltimore. Now, in real life, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, she was from New York, but she spent a lot of her youth in Bethesda, Maryland, which is a suburb of D.C., so it's not the same part of Maryland. But I'm wondering if at the time, because there was no team in Washington, the Nationals didn't exist back then, that Larry David just said, oh, we'll just make her from Maryland, then she's an Orioles fan. I'm thinking that's probably was the thought process.
Yeah, it could have also been that they felt like the Orioles were, and no offense to your listeners, were kind of an innocuous team to like pick that kind of fight with, because if it had been a Red Sox hat, obviously people would have understood that a lot more. But like the Orioles are just kind of a team that's there. They got a lot of history. Fans would be familiar with them, but it would be kind of an innocuous team to be so forceful about taking off the hat. You know, that could be a possibility as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, because if someone wore a Boston hat into a Yankees game, the entire crowd would be against that person. Whereas an Orioles hat, you know, Elaine could walk in, walk all the way through the stands, and probably, you know, people notice. But I imagine Yankees fans are not going to be as upset about that as they would about like a Boston cap.
Now, I should point out that when this episode happened in 1990, was the episode aired obviously in 1992, but based on 1991 season, neither team was particularly good at that time. So I don't think there was a really heated rivalry either way. But
speaking of the 91 teams, one of the things that I appreciated in that episode was that they used, you know, clips from real games, and I was trying to pick out the players, and like Scott Sanderson was pitching for the Yankees, and I think Billy Ripken was one of the hitters Orioles.
All right, of course you have. All right, so I'm going to have to go through all this now. The first clip they show is Scott Sanderson pitching for the Yankees, and the Orioles hitter is a left-handed batter
who is either David Segee or Joe Orsalak. I couldn't tell for sure. It looks.
I thought it was Orsalak.
It looks more like Orsalak, but the only reason I was confused was because it looked like there was a 3 on the back of his uniform, and Orsalak wore number 6, whereas Segee was 13, and Segee was a left-handed batter as well. Oh, he's a switch hitter, actually, if I recall correctly. But anyway, it probably was Orsalak. I probably just was seeing it wrong. What's interesting, though, is the next clip they go to, which is looks like it's supposed to be within the same at-bat, is a different pitcher and a different hitter. And that looks like it is Wade Taylor, who I don't even remember, and he's facing Billy Ripken in the second one. So I went back and looked, and there's actually a third clip at the end of the game, which is interesting because this is supposed to be the next week when the Orioles wouldn't still be in town, but it's also an Orioles-Yankees clip, and it's Jeff Ballard pitching for the Orioles, and I couldn't tell who the Yankees hitter was. But I did a little research in 1991, and I think that these clips all came from the games of Saturday, July 6th, and Sunday, July 7th, which was the Orioles playing at Yankee Stadium. Saturday was a night game. Sunday was a day game. But it would, that time of year, you know, it would have been light well into the night game. So both of the games look like they're during the day. So anyway, that's the best I can tell. Those are the games in question.
Well, that is some great internet sleuthing.
So, yes. So, Jason, what do you think about all that?
I think it's fantastic, your devotion to sports ball. And, you know, I'm just going to say, I like baseball. I'll go to a baseball game. My team's the Cardinals. I grew up. I grew up in Illinois, and people usually say, like, oh, you like the Cubs. Well, not so fast, because Illinois is kind of split, because a lot of it is closer to St. Louis, and then you've got Chicago. So Cardinals-Cubs is a big rivalry through the whole state. I'm from a Cardinals family. All that is to say, I don't follow the sport that closely. So, yeah, I have no idea about it. All that stuff you just said, fantastic, Justin. Great work.
Thank you.
Well, one other thing that stuck out to me was when they were in Mr. Lippman's office the next day, and it shows the close-up of the newspaper. That was because I'm a big dork. I paused it on the image. And that paper was from the 91 NLCS between the Braves and the Pirates. And it was specifically coverage of game 3, because the centerpiece photo was of Greg Olson, Braves catcher, who hit a homer that game. And the sidebars are about the tomahawk chop and just kind of a game story. But I thought that was a weird anachronism that they would just like throw out a paper from, you know, nowhere near where it was supposed to be.
Well, keep in mind, this was 1992, before DVDs existed, before TV shows were routinely put even on VHS, and certainly before people could watch it on the computer. So they probably didn't expect anybody to be pausing it and really looking at it that carefully.
Oh, I know that, but, you know, here we are.
Here we are. One other thing I wanted to mention, and this is a kind of a... it's kind of a recurring thing with Seinfeld, and that is, like I said earlier, you know, typically with a TV show, you have an A plot and maybe a B plot and then sometimes a C plot. This one has essentially 3 plots. There's the Orioles hat that we've talked about. There's the Kramer painting, and there's Jerry and his artist girlfriend, who sends him a letter that she copied from a Neil Simon play. And they're all interrelated. They all involve the girlfriend in some way. But what's interesting to me is that none of them really stands out to me as the A plot, but this episode is called The Letter, which is based on, you know, the letter that she sends him based on the Neil Simon thing. And that's really weird to me because, again, if you're trying to find this episode, that's not what you would ever think to look for, right? I mean, if they called it The Kramer, if they called it The Baseball Hat, you know, you would sort of immediately know which episode they're talking about. The Letter, just to me, is so generic. I didn't even know which episode this was, even based on the title.
Actually, yeah, when you told us or asked us, you didn't demand that we watch this, but when you asked us and you said it was the episode The Letter, I was like, well, that seems like a very random title. But I would probably elevate the girlfriend plot to be the A plot. Just barely. Because, I mean, she is sort of the driving force behind everything that happens in the rest of the episode. So, but yeah, it is all pretty equal plot-wise, I guess.
That was one thing about Seinfeld. You know, people always called it a show about nothing. But many times it was a very complicated plot that was intertwined with, you know, all the 3 stories. which obviously takes a lot of effort than like truly making a show about nothing. And this was just another example of, you know, three stories that in this case, not one like really stood out a whole lot, but you can't have, the episode doesn't come together unless you have all three elements of the plot. And so, bravo, Seinfeld.
I also did want to point out that there is a quote in there from the guy who buys the painting. There's a couple, an older couple who are supposed to be, you know, rich, and they end up buying the Kramer painting for $5,000, I think it is, right. And there's a quote in there that has made a lot of lists of best Seinfeld quotes, and it's like, the man says, "He is a loathsome, offensive brute, yet I can't look away."
Right.
I don't know. That has always stuck out to me. It's very funny.
It's either before or after that quote. I can't remember. But he also says, like, "He sickens me," or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because the wife then says, he transcends time and space. And he says, "He sickens me."
Yeah.
It cuts between the two of them talking. And I think at that point, Jerry is breaking up with the girlfriend. So it's cutting between the two of them. I don't know why they did that, but what I thought was funny, because I told you just, and I actually watched this twice. I want to make sure I was well prepared. I don't prepare this much for my actual job, but I went ahead and watched this episode twice. Everything that the couple says about Kramer, it's true. Like, they are coming at it from two opposite perspectives. Like, she says, "Oh, he's so childlike and you know, something," and like you said, timeless, but unusual. And he's like, "He's depraved and a predator, and he sickens me." It is all equally valid.
Yep. And she says, "His struggle is man's struggle."
It is. We should point out too that the girlfriend is played by Catherine Keener, who is, since that time, become a very well-respected actress. She's twice been nominated for the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for Being John Malkovich and also for Capote. And she's appeared in popular movies like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and she was recently in Get Out, which, of course, got a lot of Oscar nominations just this past year. So, like a lot of Seinfeld guest stars, she went on to bigger and better things. Or at least bigger things. I don't know about better, but...
No, I noticed that, too. When she first popped up, I realized that it was her. And it what's always so funny, too, is how young everyone is. Because, I mean, at this point, it's 20-plus years ago. Which it kind of makes you do a double take.
Yep.
Yeah, and I really doubt that Catherine Keener would slum and do TV today.
Well, at least not.
Well, she does podcasts, just Jason. So anything's possible.
What's a podcast?
Does she do podcasts? Maybe I can get her as a guest.
No, actually, she did. There's a it's called Homecoming, and it's got actually a lot of big names. She's kind of the main character, but it's got David Schwimmer, Oscar Isaac, David Cross. But it's almost like a radio drama kind of podcast.
Well, Catherine, if you're listening, get in contact with me, lockedonorioles@gmail.com, and we'll do an episode about the letter, and I'll just erase this one. These guys will never, nobody will ever actually hear it because she's a better guest.
It'll be just like our old podcast.
Hey, I never erased one. I don't think.
No, I meant about people listening to it.
Right. Well, we had some people listen.
We had a worldwide following.
That's true.
At least three different countries.
And I could also attest in that case, Jason Wheatley also spent more time on that than he did his actual job.
Right. That's always been true of Wheatley.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that is the one thing I miss about that job, was the 1 hour a week where we sat down and goofed off in your office.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end of that story.
The part I miss most about it was having a paycheck and a job that I could go to every day. But that's not really important right now. Also, yeah, if you're hiring, lockedonorioles@gmail.com. So I'm qualified to do a lot of things, and we can talk about it.
Are you? Are you, though?
Shh. I'm just going to edit that part out.
Am I ruining the magic? Am I peeking too far behind the curtain?
Possibly, yes. All right, so any other thoughts on this episode?
No, it's a good episode. Like I said, I hadn't seen it in a few years, but it holds up well, and it made me laugh.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. Sometimes you go back and episodes don't hold up as well, but this one I thought was pretty solid, start to finish.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, that is one of the things about Seinfeld is it generally holds up pretty well. It's stayed pretty timeless. I mean, the fashions are, you know, ridiculous, but and there's a couple dated references here and there. But I mean, in general, you can watch an episode from that entire series and it still holds up.
All right. Well, before we go, I just want to say that maybe we'll come back and do other episodes about Orioles pop culture moments, but there aren't really that many of them compared to other teams, that's for sure. One that I know that did happen was that Julia Louis-Dreyfus actually playing Selina Meyer in Veep. Her character is supposed to be from Maryland, and I think that is actually filmed in Maryland, and one time she went and visited the Orioles at Camden Yards, and Jake Arrieta was in it and some other people. I forget exactly who. But
yeah, I remember that one.
And then did you guys watch The Wire?
No.
I did not. It's on my list of things to get to.
All right. Well, I will just say, for those of you who are familiar with The Wire, there's a story about old Orioles catcher Gus Triandos that if you've watched The Wire, you probably remember it, but it is a story that is probably not appropriate for a family podcast. So I'm not sure I'll ever do an episode about that one. But anyway, thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.